Greetings in Jesus' name. I think we heard a lot this morning already. A call to holy living, and just a lot in that chapter there. That if we desire to, there's a lot there that we can apply to our lives and continually grow in. As I was pondering this past week, thinking about what should I be sharing here this morning, and something that I continually think about, what things do we need to hear, how can we be taught, what do we need to be taught in, and when we think about a people, talking about us, a people that is striving to serve Jesus, is trying to live holy lives. And, you know, in that, maybe sometimes we find ourselves discouraged at times, but we try to pick ourselves up and we move forward. And what is, as I was pondering that, what is needful in our lives to maintain that strong spiritual walk with the Lord, pondering that, there is a heart in our lives, a spiritual heart that needs to be healthy, needs to be strong, in order for us to maintain that walk. So the question that I want to ask us this morning: what condition is our heart, our spiritual heart, in? And just with that question, I'd just like to pause and have a time of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before you. We recognize, Lord, that we are a people that needs you. And Lord, we thank you this morning for salvation. We thank you for the newness of life that we can experience in you. And Lord, we are placing ourselves before you this morning again, desiring to hear from you. We ask, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. Lord, we know that we need our hearts stirred. We need our hearts turned towards you, not just once a week, but every day, every moment as we make decisions in our day, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred by you, and that we would have a desire to please you, Lord, a desire to serve you. And Lord, that is why we're here this morning. We want to do that. And Lord, we also acknowledge this morning that we find ourselves falling short and failing. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for those times, Lord. And Lord, we just desire here, acknowledging all of these things, we desire to be strengthened this morning, and that you would be pleased with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple different hearts in the first one, thinking about our fleshly heart. You know, it's a muscle that it's called an organ, and it pumps blood. And it's a very important piece of our body. We all know that it's there, but most of us probably don't really think too much about it. unless we have an inkling that our heart isn't healthy, then we have of, if we value our life, we're very concerned about it, and we will probably go to great measures to gain more health, we will find ourselves eating things or not eating things or doing things that we usually didn't do to try to gain health back into that organ of ours. And as I was just thinking about that a little bit, I had looked at something and it said to maintain a healthy physical heart, it's important that you drink more water, or I don't know, I think it said more. And so in other words, that we need to drink lots of water. And so just a little bit of piece of information that was actually encouraging to me. It's like, oh yeah, I should do that. I should drink more water. Make sure I drink lots of water. As we think about a heart and we think of a life, we think of a person, we think of, sometimes we think of a personality, feelings, or emotions that people feel, and that is another part, another being of us. But mostly this morning I'd like to focus on our spiritual heart, our spiritual life, and when we think of our spiritual heart, we think of our mind, our will, our conscience, and you know, the things that we have an appetite for. And when we think of that, you know, we think of something that we want. And so in just a very quick there, a spiritual heart, you know, as we analyze that part of our being, our lives, you know, what are we seeing there? Are we feeling encouraged by the appetites, the desires that we see coming out of our lives? In Jeremiah chapter 17, just a few verses here that I'd like to read. Going down to verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Just a few verses here that I think we can find encouragement from here in verse 8 there. You know, it talks about our roots, and when we're rooted deeply, and you know, the heat of the day comes, the, you know, we pass through a time of no rain shower, so to speak. You know, we have a hard time seeing God in the picture, so, and you know, we don't understand what's going on. You know, maybe when we think about that, we think of the Job experience. you know, he didn't understand what was happening. He just knew that life wasn't going well, and he wasn't seeing God. And his, you know, seemed like everything was coming against him. And I think, you know, it's talking about those moments in our lives. You know, we know that we're going through a hard time, and we can't see the end picture. We don't know how things are going to turn out. And it's telling us here that when we're rooted and grounded, we will be able to come through those things. In the end of the verse, it tells us, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Even in those hard times, he's telling us here that we can still continue to yield fruit because we're still being fed in spite of the things that are going on. But verse 9 here is a verse that I want for us to not forget. The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 10 tells us that the Lord is continually searching our hearts. And so as we live life, and let's not be deceived by our own thinking, but let's open our hearts and invite God to search us to continually make us into the people that he wants us to be. And as we think about God working in our lives, a thought that I had is that God never will control our hearts. He always leaves us with the ability to make decisions, with the ability to turn our hearts towards him, to seek him, to invite him in, but he doesn't demand us to be there. And the enemy of our soul, on the other hand, likes to take control. He likes to bring things into our lives in a way that we think that we have freedom. We have the ability to make our own decisions, and he likes to make us believe that if we serve God, that we don't have any freedoms. And so I think that is something that we need to understand, that, you know, Satan's end goal is to have full control. We see that in, you know, he with drugs and alcohol, in people start using these things in a way that makes them feel good. They feel like they're in control and life is good. They can, you know, if they're having a low, they can make that go away. And they feel like they're in control. But Satan only uses that for a time. And then he brings addictions in, and pretty soon these people have no control, but they just need these things. You know, we see the same thing in lust and pornography, and it comes and then it grabs a hold of people's lives, and they can't stop. They don't want to be there. You know, they find themselves in a place that, I don't want these things, but they have no control to stop. Bitterness, you know, it's something that if we allow it to, he brings it into our lives to the point that we find ourselves wishing evil on other people. And we don't like it. But we can't stop. That's what Satan does. And so the difference there is Satan wants to control every step of our lives, and we will not find God doing that. We will see him inviting us. He wants to step along the side and he wants to help us. But he's not going to demand it of us. Some examples of things that we can do with our spiritual hearts. We can humble ourselves, our hearts, and incline our hearts towards God. Those are steps that we can take, that we can do. We can watch over our hearts with all diligence. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, tells us, you know, it is important that we do that. And maybe I'll just turn to that verse. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, we're called to watch over our heart, to make sure that it's okay, that it's healthy, that we're thinking the things that please God. And when we're not, you know, we're to turn away from those things, to repent, to ask God for forgiveness, and to seek strength through him. What happens to a heart that is neglected? In Matthew, in Mark, actually, Mark chapter 7, we can see some of the things that take place. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We see, you know, a heart that is left to itself. These are things that will just grow. They will come out of our lives. And so we see the importance of if we don't want these things to come out of our lives, that it is important that we bring our heart before God and we seek to be healed by him and to be strengthened by him, that we can don't experience those things. We recognize that the devil has one goal, and that is to steal and to kill, to destroy your soul into hell. That is his final goal. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, we have the promise, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We see here that how much he cares about our heart condition, and we have to remember that he knows who we are better than anyone. After all, he created us. He made us into the beings that we are. We see in these verses here that he examines us. He tests us. He wants to find our strengths. He wants to revive us when we're struggling along. He wants to change us. He wants to set our hearts free. And as I mentioned before, God will never just take control of our heart and our emotions and just make us be a certain being, but rather he's a God of, he invites, he gives us opportunity, he brings friends in, he brings a church into our lives to give us opportunity to share with other people, to help us be the man, the woman, the child that God wants us to be. So he will provide us, I believe, at all times, he will provide us with the tools that are needed to be an overcomer. And he will lay them beside us and in front of us in the forms of people, in the forms of his Holy Spirit. And he will give us all those opportunities, and we just have to take them and use them. In Luke chapter 21, we see here in the chapter 21, in the first four verses here, we see what God is looking for. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her has cast in all the living that she had. Here we see one person alone and a poor person, and we see obviously that she was trusting something outside of herself, and that she was trusting, she was giving her life for the cause, and she was trusting, I believe she was trusting God, and she didn't know how tomorrow was going to work out, but basically she was saying, I don't need to know. I'm just going to do what I believe that God would have me to do. And I'm going to rest in that, in basically letting go of control of her life. And I'm sure these other people here were giving a lot more for the cause that was physically going to make more of a difference, but they were still in control of their lives, and not that maybe it was wrong for what they did there, but the point is that we need to, God wants a people that is willing to trust, willing to rest in Him, and willing to let go and then just live life and do what we believe we're called to do. This heart that we recognize as it's important that it is taken care of and is in good condition. There's something that goes on in this heart that we have no control over, and that is that spiritual battles are battled out in this heart. And they will come. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we living our lives in a way that we can win those battles? And as we just ponder that for a minute, you know, is our flesh used to sort of getting its way? How do we work that out? Our heart, our spiritual heart, is where we win these battles. And, you know, unfortunately, we would all acknowledge that it is here that we've also experienced battles that we don't like to think about. Things that, you know, I gave in. I allowed my flesh to have its way, and I lost to my enemy. But, you know, if we find ourselves in that situation now, we don't need to stay there. We can rise up, and we can bring those things before Jesus, and He will bring healing to us, and He will give us freedom, and we can again be those people that we know that we are on the winning side. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, and we see, I think this is in a parable, the example of how these battles are played out. Just going to read a few verses here, starting in verse 3. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then if we go down to, in the end of the chapter here, down to verse 19, just talks about these verses here. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy receiveth it. Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. As we look at Jesus' teachings here, and we all understand how seed and how when you transplant plants, how roots are important, and how it's important that it goes, that its roots are deep, and that it gets plenty of water. And we see as Jesus explains what's going on here, we can all recognize the need of having roots that are grounded, roots that are sure. And the teaching is very clear here of what happens if we don't cultivate our lives in God's word, in his teachings, and spiritually encourage one another. But if we neglect those things, eventually something's going to come along. Life is going to come along, and it's not going to make sense. And we're by and by, if we're not careful, we'll be one of those that our hearts harden because of life, because we had no root. And so let's be aware. Let's do what God wants us to do, and let's analyze our hearts and lives and see the condition, see what's going on. We see here that, you know, if we let things into our hearts and we let them stay, you know, if we don't attend to them, you know, those things will become deeply rooted and will destroy us. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. And there's a call here. You know, it is, we're to guard our heart with all diligence. above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If we guard something, if we value something, we recognize that there is a treasure there. Do we understand the treasure that we have, that relationship with God, the peace that we have? This verse here is a call to us as individuals. We have a responsibility to keep our hearts, to guard it. You know, it doesn't say here that, you know, it's my neighbor's responsibility to make sure that my life is okay. It doesn't say here that, you know, it's the pastor's responsibility to make sure that your heart is okay. But it's talking to us as individuals personally, I believe. We have a call here to watch over our lives, to make sure that we're okay. And yes, God does use pastors. He uses churches, and He uses our brothers and sisters to help us maintain what He wants from us here. But, you know, I believe we need to take those steps and to realize that we have a treasure that is worthwhile hanging on to, that is worthwhile keeping. What are some things we need to, what are some things that we can guard against when we think of our heart and, you know, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, we know that, you know, if we dwell on thoughts,